I want you to be ready to share with the group in a moment, because we're going to go through some practical things with this first stage and just have some time where you can share some things you've done. We do have to keep tracking along here, but we're making some good. We left off talking about the biblical process of candor, and I want to say first that there are many ways for friends, pastors, lay counselors to use the sort of material we're talking about. We don't have time to go through all of those. We're going to talk about one way that you see up on the PowerPoint and toward the bottom of page 3 in your notes, trialogues, another of those phrases. I'm not sure if I coined it or not, but think about a monologue. That's pretty much what we're having take place now. A dialogue. I had a lot of good dialogue during the break. In fact, I had to finally sit down because we were dialoguing the whole time, and I love that. But you needed to stand because you'd been sitting, and anyway, you get the story. But, you know, trialogue is a picture where there's three of us in every counseling conversation. It's me, it's the counselee, and it's, of course, the Holy Spirit through the Word of God being involved in the picture. I mean, I like to think of it this way, as always inviting Jesus, the divine counselor, in through the Word of God. I think it's one of the tremendous benefits of what I call the personal ministry of the Word. Having been a senior pastor, I rarely wanted to give up the pulpit, and I believe in the pulpit ministry of the Word, and I believe good pulpit ministry of the Word is good counseling. One of the things that Pastor Viers does tremendously well here. But somehow in our minds, we have this idea that they're at competition. The personal ministry of the Word, the pulpit ministry of the Word, they shouldn't be. They should be partners. But there is a difference. When I'm talking to you, I only know universally, generically, through my understanding of human nature, where you folks are at. Talking to you individually here, or talking with a spiritual friend, a lay person in my church, a parishioner, I can know them pointedly. And I think we, in our circle sometimes, we think what biblical counseling is a 30-minute sermon. And I think it loses the power of the personal ministry of the Word. The power of the personal ministry of the Word is engaging people around the Bible. Not just preaching at them, but trialoguing with them. You, them, the Holy Spirit through the Word, saying, how does this biblical principle relate? How does this passage relate? And that's what we're going to try to do. Again, I'm not saying it's the only way to apply this. I certainly think it's a prominent way to apply it, how we trialogue with people. And don't get caught up on the different definitions at the bottom of page 3. I forget which one I mean by which one sometimes. But there's a little bit of a difference. The second to last bullet on that page, scriptural exploration, probing specific applicable passages to empower people to relevantly relate God's Word to their struggles. There are definitely times I'm going to very specific passages, and I'm talking to somebody who's been sexually abused, I'm going to 2 Samuel 13. I'm talking to somebody who's grieving, I'm going to Psalm 13, or things of that nature. So definitely we want to do that. I think sometimes we don't realize there's another part, and this is at the bottom of page 3, what I call spiritual conversations, pondering broad biblical principles to empower people to face life face-to-face with God. I mean, if you think of systematic theology where you bring together different concepts, you could talk to somebody about the concept of being honest with yourself and honest with God, and maybe not specifically go to a passage. We'll give you examples of both of these on this next page of your notes. Scriptural exploration, spiritual conversations. Again, don't get hung up on the difference. If you forget everything else, remember the trialogue, you, the parishioner, the Holy Spirit, and the Word working together to interact and engage about counseling. So we have on the top of page 4 then some trialogues with believers, and we won't take the time normally to read over all of these. And please, the idea is not to do this. You're on the phone with somebody, you've got Kellerman's notes, your cheat sheet. I'm so sorry this has happened to you. You know, that's not the idea. And the idea is also not a whole list of questions that you're Joe Friday. Ask the question, they answer it, another question. Again, we have to teach it in some linear way because that's how teaching and learning go. But please understand, these are just samples that we put out there that you have to put into your own heart. As I said already, I wouldn't even say any of this necessarily in the first moment of crisis. With Dave and Gail, it was, I'm so sorry. So in a sense, maybe that sort of sentence, but it didn't come out of memorizing something. It came out of the soul. Now, I can only begin to imagine what you might be feeling. if it were me. These first couple of comments, I think, are giving people permission to grieve. And by the way, you think, well, that's just secular empathy. You know what? They stole that from us. You get that, right? And I'm so tired of ceding biblical principles and concepts to the secular world because they've taken it and counterfeited it. Empathos, to feel the pathos, the passion of another person. That's a biblical concept. 1 Corinthians 12:16, when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. Romans 12:15, we rejoice with those who rejoice, we weep with those who weep. I mean, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's nothing secular about empathos, about sharing the passion and feeling and grieving of another person. It's very biblical. It's climbing in the casket. You know, the next couple of samples are kind of level one and level two suffering that we talked about. What's your loss like for you? What's it like to go through all of this? What's been robbed from your life? Now we're beginning to get into level two, the internal part. What's been robbed from your life due to this? What's missing? What are you grieving over the most? Again, there's no magic to the questions. I'm just trying to get us thinking about different ways to pull people out to begin to help them to be candid. You know, a couple more that are about permission to grieve. Have you ever faced anything like this before? How are your family members responding? I've found this very helpful with people that are in denial to slowly help them to move. They can talk about how the wife is handling it and slowly help them to talk about how they're handling it. Spiritual conversations. What do you think the Bible teaches about feeling and expressing anger in a situation like yours? So this is what I was talking about, those more spiritual conversations, not a specific verse, but you're engaging a person about biblical principles. When you're feeling a certain thing, do you talk about it? Do you not? Do you hold it in? What does the Bible say? Do you find examples in the Bible, believers facing suffering, struggling with depression? Now, the rest of these are examples of scriptural exploration. David experienced something similar. Stalked by Saul, his life was on the line. He faced the valley of the shadow of death. Could we look at his situation and his response? And we give several other examples there. And all of these are designed to help a person begin to be biblically candid with themselves. Now, we won't take a lot of time on the next piece, but evangelistic trialogues with the unsaved. You know, we talk a lot, can you do biblical counseling with a non-Christian? You know, it depends on definition, depends on the setting. I'll tell you this, I've done a great deal of biblical counseling that became evangelistic counseling with non-Christian people. And one of the reasons was, I had my PhD and have all this counseling experience. I'm a pastor and I counsel for free, so people come to me that are unsaved. Why? Because I'm cheap, you know? And I've even asked people sometimes, you know, your sister's told me that you're not really a church-going person. You know I'm a pastor and will approach this from a biblical perspective. Help me to understand why you're here. And they're usually honest enough to say, well, I've been told that you're helpful and I've been told that you're free. And then the next part of the conversation is I just want you to know that while I'm not going to beat you over the head with the Bible, I'm not going to spend my time preaching to you. I want you to know that everything that we talk about is based in my thinking on a biblical way of thinking about life. Are you okay with that? I've never once had a person leave at that point. And suffering is a point, and again, you can read over some of these samples, where we can be very evangelistic. We all know that the end thing to do is to say, how are you feeling about that? Which is a legitimate thing to expose and to explore. What these trialogues with an unsaved person is saying, how are you and God doing with that? They've already given you permission to come at it from your spiritual perspective. And so you have the right to do that and explore with them. And I've had many people in these sort of scenarios of grieving come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you can do ongoing, in-depth biblical counseling. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of a few handles that we can do. Now, at the bottom, we have that section that says some ideas. What do you do to empower people to move from denial to candor? And just a couple of you kind of popcorn testimonies, brief. What are some things you've done, some phrases you've used, some passages you've looked at, some interventions that you found helpful in helping people move from not facing it in the right timing then to begin to face and be honest about what's happening? Yes, sir. Nice and loud for the group.
Well, I usually ask people, you know, what is there that I can do for you? Is there anything I can do for you? So usually, a good way out.
Very good. What can I do for you? Very great invite, especially at the beginning of the process. get yourself involved as a